What is up, guys? This is episode 147 of Strong in the Iron Will Way. Oh, forgot to say my name. This is Scott from Iron Will Strength. Episode 147. As most of you guys know, I think you know, this podcast is recorded at Iron Will Strength headquarters, Westbrook, Maine. Actually, it's recorded in my Jeep 99% of the time on the way to and from headquarters in Westbrook, Maine. But the reason Westbrook, Maine is important is that, let's see, today it's snowing a little bit and 30 degrees. The other day it's been very cold. The last couple weeks been down below zero for a few days here and there. And then last week, I think it was like 40, even 45 one day. And it was amazing what 45 degrees can feel like coming off 15, minus 15, or even 15, right? So it's kind of a joke that, you know, 40 degrees, 45 degrees in the spring coming off summer coming towards summer. So like coming off winter, 45 degree day, first one. And particularly like when it's starting to be spring, not now, but like let's say spring is coming. Get that first 45 degree, maybe 50 degree day. Dude, everyone is like in shorts and a fucking t-shirt and sunglasses and like windows down and drinking iced coffee. Like it's like clicks into like, this is awesome. It feels so warm at 50. Now look at fall coming off of summer where it's been 70 degrees, 80 degrees or whatever. And then all of a sudden it becomes 45 one day. Everybody is freezing. Right? Everybody is bundled up. 45 degrees then feels like zero, right? It's so cold. And it just got me thinking how everything in life is relative, right? Is 40 degrees cold? All depends. We lived in Florida for 5 or 6 years. When you live in Florida, 40 degrees is freezing. I mean, people lose their minds at 40 degrees. In Maine, 40 degrees is comfortable. It's normal, you know. It's not particularly cold because we're accustomed to much colder. You get the idea. This is yet another perfect analogy for why strength training or rigorous physical exercise of any kind is so great. Because hard training puts things in perspective much differently, right? All training is preparation for something else. So if you think about, I use fighting and jiu-jitsu and martial arts as a lot of analogies and examples because I think it's got a high correlation to what we do into real life, which is when you're preparing a fighter for a fight, the way that they prepare guys for a fight is for something like worst case scenario, right? So let's say, for example, my fighter is going to fight 3 5-minute rounds. We're going to prepare him to be able to go 6 5-minute rounds. Now, we know he's not going to go 6 because it's only 3, but we're going to prepare him to be able to do 6, right? In the gym before a football game, we're going to prepare that football player to be able to do things in the gym that are above and beyond what he needs to do in the game, okay? So that when the game time comes, when the match comes for the fighter, it's actually not as hard as what he prepared for. So it feels easy by comparison, right? Same thing in the military. You know, why do they put people through such intense training in the beginning or in boot camp or in any of this, you know, all these physical conditions? Because they want these guys to be mentally and physically tough and prepared for what's to come. And anticipating whatever conditions they might see out in the field or on the battlefield, if we can make the training harder than that, then by comparison, that will feel comfortable. You know, if they've only trained for, let's say, an intensity level of 6, and they get out there and the intensity level is 12, they're going to be a lot of trouble because they're not going to know how to handle it. Right? They're going to freak out. They're going to lose. They're not going to be in shape. They're not going to be able to just do what they need to do. So you're trying to be prepared above and beyond what's going to be necessary. This is life. This is life, people, right? So think about how many things really upset you and are really difficult for you, and then let's put them in perspective. And so if we look at just the physical realm, let's say, for example, you're somebody that when it snows and you got to go out and shovel, that means your back's going to hurt for a week, or you're possibly going to hurt yourself, and it's risky to even do. Okay, well, that's because the effort and the muscles involved in shoveling snow, lower back, core, glutes, are not strong enough, and they haven't been through enough challenging preparation to get ready to go do that, right? Now, let's just say you happen to be somebody that is routinely working out and training properly, so you're strengthening your core, you're deadlifting, you're squatting, you're rowing, you're using all the muscles that you use to shovel on a pretty consistent basis. When that person goes to shovel, no big deal. Literally no back pain, not hard, not gonna get hurt, because relative to what this person's doing in the gym, it's not a big deal, okay? Now, this also translates into mental and emotional strength. So, you know, you've heard me talk about it a million times, but like when you don't want to do that workout, when you don't want to do those 5 more reps, when you don't want to do 10 more pounds, but you do it, you're training your body, your mind, your heart to push past those barriers because you know that it's good for you and that you can do it. It's just mental. So many high-level athletes. I read this recently, Tim Crover, who works with a ton of top-level athletes. He says, hey, listen, high-level athletes are rarely 100% physically, okay? Because they might be talented and gifted, but they're always working against some kind of injury or some kind of circumstance physically, right? Those guys get sick, they get injured, they get aches and pains, they get older just like everybody else. But they make up for that by working beyond 100% mentally. And I think that's the point here, is that the ability to push out those few more reps, there's the ability to do the exercises that you hate, the ability to go to the gym when you don't want to, right? When you're tired, when it's dark, it's like today, it's rainy and snowy. It's all the time. There's so many times you're not gonna wanna go. And the more you train yourself to just do it and not think about it, you get better at all those kind of circumstances. So now all of a sudden, put yourself in a scenario where there's something that you normally would be uncomfortable with. Let's just say it's public speaking, right? Everybody gets nervous about that. So you find out, you know, your boss comes to you and said, hey, next week I'm gonna need you to do a presentation at the office in front of 30 people, and you freak out. How do you get better at doing that? Well, one is by doing it, right? Maybe that first time you freak out, but the next time after that would be easier. And maybe you start with some small groups of people, friends, family, and literally practice it. You know, if you're really, really nervous about it, when I used to have to public speak a lot and would get anxious about it, I would literally practice it in my house or in a hotel room if I was traveling, just to myself. I would just practice saying it out loud and hearing my own voice and going through it and literally walking through like what kind of introduction I would say and would I tell a joke or not tell a joke, or would I try to be funny, or would I try to remember this, and what would I, and I would literally just walk through the entire thing over and over and over again. And your brain and your body start to get accustomed to this. And even though there's not a single person there, and it's going to be more nerve-wracking in front of people, because I've done it a million times, I'm not that nervous about it, right? When I go to do it in front of people, yeah, I'm a little more anxious because there's people there, but it's not like the first time I'm doing this thing. I've literally replayed it a million times. You see this a lot in, I'll use fighting as an analogy. I remember when I spent some time in Gleason's in Brooklyn learning how to box, and I would see these guys. If I found out that I was going to be sparring the next day, I would be nervous about it from the moment my coach told me until it was over the next day. Like for 24 hours, I'd be anxious about having to get in there and hit and be hit. Hit another person and be hit by another person, right? It's very viscerally kind of scary. Even if you know you're not going to get seriously hurt because we're sparring, we're not going to kill each other, it's still anxiety provoking, right? For me, it was. Now, I look at some of these people that box for a living or have been doing this forever. To them, a sparring day was literally no difference. Their heart rate would not be any different on a sparring day than on an off day or on a working just the bags. It's not a big deal for them because they do it constantly. So if your average person gets into an altercation, even if it's just an argument that could possibly become physical, let's say it's at a bar or something like that, that person is going to be shaken and full of adrenaline and freaking out about it. Where if you take a pro fighter and somebody wants to start a fight with him somewhere, the guy is not even going to like get his heart rate up and not even get his adrenaline pumping, because it's something he does all the time. It's no big deal, okay? So preparing for things like that, and clearly we're not talking about fighting here, we're talking about life and training. If your body is physically prepared to do these challenges, when physical challenges come up, first of all, they're no big deal, okay? So pick something that happens in normal life. If you're training and you're healthy and strong, none of that stuff will throw you off. So you lose your balance falling down the stairs. But if you're strong and you've been working out all the time, you can catch yourself. You know, when older people fall and get hurt, a lot of times they get hurt because they actually fall. They fall more easily because when they lose their balance, they're not strong enough to maintain it. And then you look at things like how, again, let's say you are mentally strong from forcing yourself to do this stuff, and then you decide you want to go back to school. And going back to school requires adding X amount of classes per week onto your weekly already busy schedule. It would be very easy to bail on that because you're like, oh man, I can't even do it. Like, I gotta sleep less and do, you know, sacrifice here and there. But if you're mentally strong from training and forcing yourself to do things you don't want to get a certain result, you'll understand that, hey, I can do this. I've done harder things than this, right? Because again, your body assesses relativity, right? So when you look at some of the workouts that people do at a high level, they would literally kill a normal person. But that high level athlete didn't just start out at that level. They work up to it. And you'd be amazed at what a high level, relatively new people can do. Like I'll take a beginner who can barely survive, four sets on the first day, and I'll look at them in 6 months and see what they can tolerate. It's incredible. So don't look at that workout that would kill a mere mortal. Don't look at that workout that the advanced athlete does and expect to be able to do that. But do understand that you would be able to do it in a certain period of time. It's just that it takes time for your body to get up to that. And again, it's all relative, right? It's all relative to what you are prepared for. So I think this is such a huge, important factor because without challenging yourself in any capacity, I mean, I love living in Maine. I love the intense winter. I love the minus 15 degrees. Why? Not because I love that. Because I love what summer feels like after that, right? I love that first 50 degree day coming off of a hard winter. When you don't have that hard winter, summer or that 50 degree day, it's not that special. It's not. And this is life, right? So when you come off, like you go into the gym and you're like, man, I'm just not in the mood, but you got through that hard workout, man, do you feel good after that. Man, does like, you earned sitting on the couch later and watching Game of Thrones, right? You actually earned it. You know, without that workout, sitting on the couch is something you do every fucking day, right? It's not special. But when your legs are trembling because you worked out so hard and you earned that rest, it feels great, right? You know where I'm going with this. I mean, this is just everything. So pushing yourself to do very, very difficult things puts all those other seemingly difficult things into a very different perspective and are much more manageable. So I think if you talk to most successful people in any capacity, right, whether they're successful at business, successful at sports, successful actors, most of them exercise intensely in some way. Maybe they don't all strength train, but they usually do something that is very challenging and kind of puts them outside their comfort zone, and it helps them manage things outside their comfort zone in their other aspects of life. And this is pretty consistent with most of the people that I've met and talked to who are really successful. So by constantly pushing the boundaries, they're training their body to push the boundaries in other ways. So I hope that kind of clicks and makes sense. But it really resonated with me when I struck the correlation between the two. So think about that and keep pushing it. You guys have a great day. pretty sick. Oh, Nelly.